Good morning. The gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." Then they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we continue our worship series on ordinary miracles, we return to the Gospel of John, where when last we left the disciples, Jesus had broken into their locked room, grabbed them lovingly by the shirt lapel, and breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Now we have our friend Peter wanting to respond to this miraculous, singular resurrection event by returning to business as usual. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." That's our Simon Peter for you. The whole world changes, and he just wants to go back to the way things were before. And before we get too mad at him, I sort of understand it, don't you? Even now, I'm starting to be bombarded by emails and articles and podcasts and Zoom calls about reopening and returning and what that will be like and what it can look like. One minute, pastors are having anxiety attacks because the church buildings are closed and that's going to be the end of the world and the church as we know it. And then the very minute that that starts to feel okay and even semi-normal, we have to begin planning for what's next, and we have no idea what we'll be dealing with or what the rules will be. But a lot of my pastor friends can't wait to get back to the way things used to be. The salad days, when we all came together in big, reckless globs of people, and we just hugged one another with wild abandon, and we recklessly ate donut holes out of common containers. Oh, what we wouldn't give to get back to fishing, right? So Peter is the one to say it out loud. "I don't know what the rest of you are going to do, but I'm going back to fishing." And they say, "We'll go with you." And they get to fishing, and they fish all night, and they catch nothing. And Jesus appears to them that morning at daybreak, when I can imagine that they were tired and worn out and discouraged, when they had done all the things that they knew how to do, all the tricks they knew how to try, and still nothing, no fish. So here's the resurrected Lord appearing to them again, meeting them and finding them right where they are. Again, they did not have to fish for trout and then go around and start looking for Jesus. Jesus finds them, and finds them on the job, no less. He calls to them from the beach, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they don't know it's him. Remember last week on the road to Emmaus? Jesus can be easy to miss. Jesus calls to them, asking them about the ways their nets are empty. And I hear him calling to us too, asking us about the things we lack, our empty nets, all the things we gave up for Lent and we're still doing without, like in-person concerts and outsourced childcare. And Jesus comes to a bunch of worn-out fishermen who are really bad at fishing. And he doesn't criticize them, but calls to them about their need. "Children, you have no fish, have you?" It reminds me of when Jesus said to them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Eugene Peterson's The Message translates that passage from Matthew 11 as, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That Jesus would spend his precious resurrected time with some fishermen who are pretty bad at catching fish is an ordinary miracle in itself. That he would come to them in their need is an ordinary miracle too, and then tell them what to do about it. And still they don't recognize him. In the midst of their trouble talk, staring down at their sore hands and their empty nets, even though he's there. Where Jesus is standing on the beach, he calls out to them and says, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat, and there you will find some." And the net is as full as it can be, immediately, out of nothing, an abundance, a ridiculous, eye-popping surprise. And there and then, he is recognized as the Lord. Not in the fatigue and the discouragement, but in the hope springing forth in the midst of it. The feeling of utter lack and then more than enough. Gracious abundance. That Good Friday into Easter Sunday divine helping of love and hope. Like a healed beggar at the gate who responds by leaping and dancing and praising God. Like a woman dropping her clay jar when she gets a taste of the living water that Jesus offers. Resurrection that intrudes again into the ordinariness of our life. Whenever I read this text, I identify strongly with these disciples in the same old boat, doing the same old things, working hard and catching nothing, checking the nets over and over, trying harder and harder, hoping that maybe one of the Jameses will go ahead and catch a bunch of fish already and we can all go home. And then I imagine what it would be like to have all those fish all of a sudden, practically leap into the boat, wiggly and slippery, silver and gleaming, more fish than I can count, although they do count them. I think after the utter wide-eyed shock of it, I would feel the urge to laugh. Laughter in spite of myself. Easter laughter that comes from deep inside, you know? The kind of laughter that comes from holding a newborn baby or having neighbors sing happy birthday 6 feet apart in the front yard. The laughter of the Holy Spirit, the laughter of Sarah at the thought of her baby Isaac in her old age, born as an ordinary miracle. And by the way, the name Isaac contains the Hebrew root word for laughter. To go from nothing to more than enough, not because we became better fishermen, but because we listened to the voice of Jesus when he said, "You have no fish, have you? Cast your net on the other side of the boat." I imagine it's the same feeling as when they looked out at the hungry multitudes when Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat," and they looked down at how many there were in the crowd and how empty their lunch boxes were. But when 5 loaves and 2 fish, which doesn't look like much, quite ordinary, when those things are brought forward and given to Jesus, he takes them, he blesses them, he breaks them, and he shares them. And in that ordinary food, Jesus works a miracle, and there is enough, and there's more. 12 baskets left over. I'm wondering if this time that feels so much like scarcity is in part an invitation to do more than just go back to fishing. I'm wondering if this is a chance to cast our net on the other side of the boat. A chance to mend fences and connect with people we haven't talked to in a long time. A chance for reconciliation and friendship, and even the chance to make a new friend. Maybe this is a chance to do our work differently. To do life differently. Maybe even to do church a little differently. With Jesus in the center of it in a way that maybe he hasn't been for a long time. What parts of going back to normal do we not want to go back to? What parts of fishing all night and catching nothing have been weighing us down and we just didn't know because we were in the middle of it? What difference could it make if we were aware of the presence of the risen Christ in our life and in our work in a new way? The presence of the risen Christ in our meetings and at the grocery store, masks and all. Christ around the table, Christ when we lie down, and Christ when we rise up. I've heard so many stories about how God has been present in new and powerful ways. Conversations that never would have happened 6 months ago. Estranged family members having dinner together now via Zoom. I've heard stories of parents and children and spouses connecting in new ways, having important conversations because they don't have to rush off to commutes and highways. Maybe after this, the world can have fewer in-person meetings. Less traffic, less fighting over our differences, more searching for our common humanity, and more love for one another. Maybe it's a chance for the church to get back to the basics too. Essential church, if you will. Without some of that extra baggage that we carry around, or that weird secret society vibe that makes so many people love our Jesus but stay away from our churches. After the great catch of fish and all that wide-eyed surprise and all that flailing around by Peter, I love that Jesus shares a meal with them on the beach. And I love that it's breakfast. I don't know about you, but in our house, Saturday breakfast feels like an ordinary miracle to us. Because before COVID, Saturday was the one breakfast when no one was in a rush to get somewhere. And that's the time we could lay a banquet table, you know? We could have grits and eggs, which, if you're from where I'm from, that's the manna and quail of God's provision from my childhood. And then maybe we would have pancakes or Belgian waffles or cinnamon rolls. And it happens to be the breakfast that the men in my house take the lead on. Nathan at the waffle maker, Eric scrambling eggs, I pour the coffee, and Lydia sets the table. And it feels like grace. It feels like a charcoal fire on the beach, a time to ponder and give thanks for all the times in the week when we fished and caught nothing, and then we let God be God for just 1 minute. We listen to the voice of Jesus about what was really important, and then so many fish, all the times in the week when God used the little gifts we were willing to share in ways that felt like a miracle. And now in quarantine life, every breakfast can be that breakfast at the Sayers household. Not with the men cooking every day, we take turns, but still it feels like grace. Jesus present around our table where now two or three can gather. Every day, a chance to give thanks. Every conversation, a chance to share love. All the ways that the presence of Christ shows us that Jesus is all we really need. And guess what we're called to do with the abundance that Jesus provides? Is grace something we're just supposed to receive and be done with it? What are you supposed to do with your net full of fish? Well, what happens next in the story is a clue, I think. I'm going to grab my Bible phone. This passage continues at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus knows that Peter loves him. Peter needs to hear himself say three times to Jesus, "I love you," because he denied Jesus three times before the crucifixion. So Jesus' response is, "If you love me, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." So, if we are fed by Jesus, knowing again how Jesus feeds the hungry heart, the job we're given is to share with others. We know at Glenmar, if we're blessed, it's not a reward for past service. Think about it. These were some pretty bad fishermen. It couldn't have been a reward for their great performance. It's so that we can be a blessing to others. To feed the sheep and tend the lambs so that we can love one another. And if we do that, we will find there is more than enough to go around. Amen.